response, Pasuk Tes. I'm sorry. Paragdal, the page 438. Page 438. Yesterday we learned yesterday the first two psukim of Ayera Elyona Ro'ogidol of Yicharloi, and the next pasuk where he says, Hashem, I was right. We did not do all that much. Let's 436, page 436. Let's read the psukim again quickly. We read the psukim Vayera Elyona Ro'ogidola Vayicharloi. Okay, a intensity of Ra and a fury. Anger, Vayicharloi, always refers to heat. His blood pressure went all the way up. He got very hot. Vayispalel el Hashem, vayoymar, and he was mispalel. We have to discuss a little word. Tefillah seems inappropriate. Tefillah is usually in our vocabulary used when a person wants something. I want something from you, Hashem. It does not appear here, not at least until Pasuk Gimel. Okay, so it's not really true. He doesn't want. He wants to die. Okay, that itself is a topic of discussion. A person should be mispalel to die. But until we get to Pasuk Gimel, it does not appear that there is a prayer. It appears there's nothing more than a complaint. And what is the complaint? Vayispalel Hashem vayomar ono Hashem haloi zeh devari ad heyosi al admosi. I've been saying this from time immemorial. Al kem kidamti levrech tarshisha. And that is why I ran away to Tarshisha. Ki yodati ki ato kelchan v'rachum erech apayim v'rachesa v'nichem al ra. I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen, and I would say boo. They would do teshuva, and as we discussed yesterday in very great detail, this is going to result in a kitroik on Klal Yisrael. Because let's see the commentators. I believe we did the mitzudos. Okay, we did the. I'm not even sure we did. Let's do it again. It's very, because we didn't do too much. Let's do mitzudos. Pasuk page 436. Very quickly. Vayera ki benevua nemar. Now, question is, why is, according to the Mitzudos, he is bothered? Why is Yonah, why does he freak out so quickly? Well, just because the people began to do teshuvah, and the king issued a decree that everyone should return all of the gezel, bikapeyem, chamos, so who says Hashem will accept their teshuvah? So here, the Mitzudos tells us something which is not obvious, which I don't know where the source is. He had inside information that Hashem already canceled the gzerah, the chora alatzim, and this caused him very great pain. He had inside information that Hashem was mekabel there to shuva. Pasuk beis vayispalel, hatzfilo hoyamasha amar b'mikra shalachrav kachno es nafshi. This is the question we just addressed. And how could he use the word vayispalel? Vayispalel is only used in our vocabulary when you want something from Hashem here. At least the first pas does not appear that he's coming to ask for anything. And the answer is, in Achanami, vayispalel is going further in Pasuk Dalit when he's being mevakesh, that he die. And here you learn an incredible insight we have to discuss later in the next Pasuk, is that there's such a thing to be mispalel, to die. And in fact, we merames to it in davening. Melech Memis Umichaye. If you read all the real books on Tefillah, they'll tell you the first three Bakoshos of Shemona Esrei are praise. When you daven to Hashem, first you give praise to Hashem, then you make your requests, and then you give Chodah, give thanks. So the first three blessings are not, it's not appropriate for a person should be mechavein, to have kavana, that Hashem should give you something. When you say, goymel chasodim toivim. So is it proper for a person to think in his mind, Hashem, you're so kind, you're so gracious, you give, you bestow kindness upon the earth, maybe you can throw me a bone. Give me also. Person should think that thought of Hashem, you're so good, I need a little chesed. I'm in a very desperate state. Please give, do with me chesed. Do with my friend chesed. Do with my children chesed. Is that the proper thing to do? So generally the answer is no, it's not. the first three blessings a person should apply is full concentration just to give pure, sincere praise. It's not a time to take advantage and say, oh, once I'm saying these words, Hashem, you're going with chasadim tovim. The next bracha, you're talking to roifei cholim, and you're matir asurim, so why don't you already throw in a thought of Hashem, you know, why don't you help me out a little bit? I'm in a very desperate state. Release me from my captivity, my imprisonment. So the pashtus, the simple understanding is no. That's not what you're supposed to be thinking when you recite the first three blessings. You're supposed to be pure, to give Hashem praise, nothing but praise. However, there's always exceptions. However, when you look, you study the bakashos are all in the 13 middle blessings. That's where you can go full force and ask Hashem for what you need. However, it's not so simple, because if you study the Sefarim, specifically the Sefarim on Tefillah for the Yomim Noiraim, the davening of the Yomim Noiraim, you don't really have that many opportunities. It sounds a little strange, right? But to ask.
Shabbos also,
exactly. Shabbos also. You don't have that much. With Shabbos, you'll say, "Okay, Shabbos, take a break." Exactly. Shabbos, you're not supposed to. It's a private tzrochem. You don't ask on Shabbos a day of just giving praise to Hashem. But the Yimei Hadin, where our lives are on the line, and on Rosh Hashanah it's decided what's going to happen. V'chulu v'chulu, it's not fair. If there's a day when we need to spell out A, B, C, D, all the details, the little gory details of all the things that we need in life, you would assume that on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal should give us an opportunity in the Nusach HaTzvila to make all of the requests that we need for our survival. And yet we don't. So I don't have a good answer. There are answers. But the answer is... What?
Avinu Malkeinu is clearly that.
I mean, what do you mean? What do you say?
You're asking requests.
What? Shlach refuah shleim lechalei amecha. Okay, it's true, but it's not in the Shemona Esrei. Okay, the Avinu Malkeinu doesn't have the same toikef, doesn't have the same intensity as the Shemona Esrei. The Shemona Esrei is nothing more sacred than the Shemona Esrei. It's a moment when a person is oimed lefnei hamelech. The worst time you can possibly talk during davening, we have all these things today in the newspapers, Baruch Hashem is very, very incredible. There's a person behind this spends enormous amounts of money on this. You can't even imagine how much he spends to make an awareness of not to talk during davening. But it's very sad. The worst time a person can possibly talk is when you finish your private Shemona Esrei, and someone else is still davening a silent Shemona Esrei. That is by far the worst time you can possibly talk. Because there's someone in the room that is currently oimed lefnei hamelech, and you are disturbing him. You see this all the time by Ma'ariv. People finish Ma'ariv, the silent Shemona Esrei, and they start chatting and having conversations, and there are other people, mamish, within 1 foot, literally, within inches of them, and they're still davening the private Shemona Esrei, and you're disturbing them. How can you take away from another person his moment, those few precious moments when he is in a state of oimed lefnei hamelech? So Shemona Esrei is very, very special. And yet we don't find that the Nuzal Shemona Esrei, so therefore, there are answers. And this is the gist what I get out of it. The answers are basically that ideally, we don't daven. You don't daven for yourself. You only daven for Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. You daven for Hashem's needs. Hashem created the world, and the world is not behaving. So you pray for Hashem that things should straighten out and Hashem should have nachas, and you put yourself on the side. And that's why the whole Nusach of Tefillah is all about Hashem. Now, all of the Gedolei Yisrael, I've seen this across the board. Today, we are not on a level where we're so concerned about Hashem. We're not on that level. It's a tough sell to tell a person today, in our day and age, on Rosh Hashanah, you daven for the Kavod Hashem. It's a tough sell. And this is definitely the ideal. This is the ideal. But if you'll tell people, come in Rosh Hashanah and forget about yourself and all of your problems and just focus on Hashem, the average person will be turned off. Also, Hashem can take care of himself. Okay, I'm coming davening. I've been taught from kindergarten, you daven for yourself. You don't want to be selfish, so you daven for your children, your family, your wife, for your friends, for chaverim. You daven for people that you can relate to. That's that, and I've read this in many places in Echanami. That should really be the focus today. If you're on such a high level that you could only focus on Hashem, you don't need to hear the shir. You're beyond. Oh, but it doesn't have the nusach atfilah, the words to express ourselves to Hashem. So they basically say, I've seen this, I'm not lying to you, I've seen this in some very chashuv sermes, so you can cheat. You can cheat. And that means when you say in the first bracha, goymel chasodim toivim, you can cheat. You can say, Hashem, you're goymel chasodim toivim. The ikar is, you give shevach to Hashem, but Hashem, I'm very desperate. Do with me chesed also. Do with my chaverim chesed. You can cheat, pretty much. There's no harm, a little cheating in the Shemona Esrei, and even in the first three brachas, the ikar, don't forget, the primary focus is shevach, praise Hashem, but in the praise of Hashem, it's also a praise of Hashem, we have to appreciate, it's also praising Hashem by acknowledging that I am in need. Yeah?
What about Sim Shalom? Sim Shalom was not...
Sim Shalom is a category by itself that's not really part of the main Shemona Esrei. Rav David Cohen has always writes about, that's one of his favorite topics about Sim Shalom at the end of Shemona Esrei and other places as well. And his basic idea he writes is that every time you give Hoidah, you have now a new obligation to make a request. He has a whole lumnus, but basically what he says is that the Shemona Esrei really ends with Modim. That's really what he says. Shevach, you give praise to Hashem. You then make your personal requests, and then you give Hoidah, thank you. When a person says thank you in the world of Tefillah, which I don't remember all the details, it automatically demands that you make another request. So Sim Shalom is basically an extension of Hoidah.
It's not a request?
No, it is a request, but it's a different type of request. It's a request that comes in the framework of Hoidah. You're saying very, very good. You're right. There is requests of Sim Shalom. There are some very important requests of Sim Shalom.
It's not an individual request.
Okay. All right, let's not get into too many details. I won't go off topic, but the point I'm going to make over here is that even though in the first three brachas we primarily focus on praise, there is such a thing as cheating. While you're giving praise, which is the primary focus, you can also sneak in your thoughts. There's no way you can say anything. This is impossible. There's no way you can add this private request in a Shmak Eleinu, v'chulu, v'chulu. There's a way, but there's no such thing as adding your own words in the first three blessings, but you can sneak in a machshava of a request. And that, yeah?
But also in Shmona Esrei, when Yom Yom, you say, Zechein L'chaim, Sefer Chaim, all these special tefillahs.
Correct.
More of a type of...
Okay, yeah, it's true, but that's L'chaim, using for life, and I guess all that it includes. Okay, you're right. There are definitely snippets. But you don't have chunks. During the weekday Shemona Esrei, you have 13 blessings dedicated for our personal needs. Especially the first, until you get to Hashiva Shaftenu, they're all very relevant, very personal. You don't have a whole blessing devoted to Refuah, Parnasa, Re'enu V'Anyenu really represents all of your problems, your struggles in life. These are very, it's not Gaul. Re'enu V'Anyenu, Mishnah Berurah, right. It's not about Gaul for Klal Yisrael. That's later on in the Shemona Esrei. It's about your personal redemption, meaning your struggles in life. So you have very, very relevant, very, very on the mark. The brachas of Shemona Esrei are on the mark, with the notable exception, whatever happened to the bracha for Shidduchim, and a bracha for children, having children. Okay, where did that go? How come people, one of the two things which occupy most people's minds, davening is a tefillah for shidduchim. Oh, exactly. So what did he give the answer? I didn't hear the tape yet.
He said maybe it wasn't Nogayan. He said maybe it wasn't Nogayan. He spoke about that.
And what about children?
What?
What about having children?
He may have mentioned that also, but I remember him saying about
There's no bracha where a person is mispal Hashem, please, may I marry to have children. It's Pella. Okay, that was surely Nogayan.
That's the Torah. No,
that means that you already have. No, you already have children. It's just that I should marry, that they should remain Torah Jews. You're not asking Hashem, please give me a child. I'm having difficulty conceiving. Give me a child. Chana was mispalul for children. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel. All of the imahos. So what happened? How come there is no bracha? There is no bracha for children. It's a wonder. One of the seven wonders of the world. It's one of the wonders. What happened? Okay, that's a topic in and of itself. Some want to say, well, you misspelled the same sochar toiv lechol habaitchem b'shimcha b'ms. The word sochar pri haboten. It's a pasuk. The word sochar, that's the direct, explicit request to have children. Sochar toiv means to have good children, to have children. There are different answers, but you don't have a whole bracha. You don't have a bracha devoted specifically for this purpose. Whatever it is. But the point I want to make over here, which is very quickly, is you can cheat. Okay, so during the first three blessings, which are primarily devoted to give praise to Hashem, there is such a principle of cheating a little bit. Now, look at this. If you're really cheating, what do you say? Melech, Meimis, Umechaye.
Excuse me, Rabbi, I just want to take up the...
Melech, Meimis, Umechaye. A person's going to cheat and he's going to ask Hashem, I want death. How can you say that? How can a person be mispalo to die?
I tell you, well, it's a story.
There are times. There are such things where a person where it's better dead than alive. Yeah. Okay, look, there are people who commit suicide. Shaul HaMelech. Not only did he pray to die, he killed himself. Okay, because if he would have been caught, he would have been tortured. I mean, what the Pelishtim would have done to him, who knows? It also would have been Bichal Hashem.
Yeah. Martyrdom
isn't
a different
thing. What? Martyrdom, but there is such a thing of praying a person is terminally ill and he's in a lot of pain. He's suffering from very great Yisurim. So there is such a principle of praying to die. So, but yet, where then in the Shemona Esrei do you find an opportunity for a person to pray to die? It's in the second bracha. You praise Hashem. Hashem is, it's a praise, shevach. Like we said, it's primarily praise. Hashem is melech, meinis, he takes away life, umechaya, and gives life, umatzmiach, Yeshua, and brings forth, causes to sprout salvation. Why did Chazal have to include that word, meinis? Al tiftach pel satan. If you want to praise Hashem, you praise Hashem for death, okay, we do praise, we say there's the brachos, a person is the brach of dying or MS. When a person goes to the cemetery, why three times a day should a person in his praise of Hashem, which is in the backdrop, in the big picture of prayer, and the essence of prayer is to make a request, would you want to mention death?
Because that leads to tchias adeis.
You're saying Jewish.
That is the ultimate.
You're saying Jewish.
Right.
You're being mispal. So being mispal for Trias Ameis. So say the words Trias Ameis.
That's the next word.
Matzmiach to sprout salvation. It's Jewish. It's beautiful. You say lahachayos meisim. So why do you have to go mention death? It's al tiftach peh lesatan. Chazal was super super duper careful in their language. And the Torah says, Torah was ma'akin, it expressed behema ha-tahoira, va-behema asher, einene tahoira. The Torah did not want to say, behema ha-tameya, When the Torah told you how to speak, even though it says many times, but there's a whole explanation, but in this particular instance, the Torah wanted to teach you how to speak, and the Torah went out of its way to be ma'arich, to be verbose, in order to teach you a refined way to speak. If that is the case, certainly, when you go in front of a king, you don't want to say the word death, you don't want to plant a seed in the mind. If you would go to a king, a melech, boss, or vadan, I don't think you would say the word death.
That's exactly the point. We're talking about not making this from the highest, so we're talking about God. God is death. Death is not a separate institution. Death
you're saying
is part of the total.
You're saying very nice things, and it's drush.
When you drush, that's what it is.
Okay. All right. I accept. I accept. There are a lot of answers. Your answer you're giving is very valid. It sounds good, and I'm with you. But there is still. But don't ignore the question. The question is still a valid question. The answer you're giving is fantastic, and maybe that is the ultimate answer. But appreciate the question. The question is, if you were to go in front of a melech basar vadam to beg for your life is on the line, you're coming to ask him for a pardon. I don't think in the vocabulary you have to go ask a professional speechwriter, or go ask a psychologist, is that when you're coming to make a request for your life, if you should even say the word death, because the mind is so delicate, and if the king hears the word death, who knows? It may just be the trigger to push the button. You don't want to. There are certain buzzwords. There's a certain way that you speak. You write. I don't know. Maybe it's just the opposite. The question is a question. Your answer. What? The answer is this. The answer is with the pasuk that we just the mitzvah that we just finished learning. It says here, "Vayispalel." Yonah was mispalel. What was Yonah being mispalel for? Death. Can you take the word vayispalel and apply it? Is there such a thing to pray for death? Is there such a thing? Well, we learn if not for Sefer Yonah, maybe there wouldn't be. Maybe you can argue there's no such thing. These two words are like an oxymoron. You can't put these together. It's impossible. It's a contradiction. The word or means there's light. It means there is no darkness. The word tefillah, the essence of tefillah is life. You say the word death. And yet he says vayispalel and goes on for over here a very very nasty complaint, and then Pasuk Gimel finally comes. What do you want, Yonah? What do you want? You said here you want to pray vayispalel. You didn't pray. You didn't pray yet. You just complained to me, and now you were nasty. You told me I should take my good midos of being a rachum dechanun and throw it in the garbage. That's what you just told me. Who's interested in the Yud Gimel Midas? He trashed the Yud Gimel Midas, and now what do you want? V'ato Hashem kach no es nafshi mimeni. My request is, I want to die. Ki toiv moisi mechayoi. It's pretty explicit what he wants. Okay, no beating around the bush here. This is it. So what do you learn from this? You learn there's something called prayer to die. That's what you learn. And from all times to learn about this, it's Yom Kippur, 5 minutes before, an hour and 10 minutes before it's the end. And we learn about, you know, just in case, Rabbi Yisrael, you spent 40 days, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and 30, and Elul, and Aseres Yimei Tshuva, you will smile for a lot of good things. For shidduchim, for children, for parnasa, for success, and don't forget you will misfalo for kavod, the most important thing. Don't forget to be misfalo to die. To die.
Look how he puts it. Just to say, I want to die. To take my nefesh, take me under your wings.
Read the next words. Read the next words.
Nurture me.
Read the next words.
He told me, but he didn't start that.
We don't even know the next words. Ki toiv moisi.
We're dead. But
no.
Kach no es nafshi.
What does that mean?
Care for me.
No, that's not what it says. I'm sorry. Read the next words.
Ki toiv moisi.
Oh, what did you just say?
That's physical.
What did you just say?
That's the physical. Right. But the etzem of life is the hereafter also.
Yeah. You're coming like a morale here. No, I'm getting scared.
This is opening up to me. It's opening up my mind to something that I never realized before. This is beautiful to me. Because we do, you know, unfortunately, I've encountered people who said they wish they were dead. And you know, we're brought up, we're brainwashed, if you will.
No, you can't. That's not nice.
But no, it's okay. It is okay sometimes. Maybe how you phrase it and how you think of it, it's a valid to feel.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. There's a time and place for everything. It's exactly the point. You hit the nail on the head. There is a time and place for everything. Esakol osa yofe beitoy. Everything is beautiful in the right time. There's a time when a person is time to leave. Okay, but you always hear about it. They go to be mvake choyle. Come to visit the sick person. You have to realize he's very uncomfortable, and he's very happy to see you. But don't stay
make
longer than he
don't
wants. There's a time to leave. Baruch ata bivayecha, uvaruch ata bitzeisecha. There's a time to leave. I remember I was a child. There was a little kid. There was a little kid. Such a nudge, like you never saw. And I used to play with his older brother. And then the younger brother walks in, and his name happened to be Baruch. The little boy, his name was Baruch, and it was such a nudge. And the father of my friend was sitting on his reclining chair. And the door opens up, and who walks in? Baruch, the neighbor, the Baruch, the Nudge. And the father says, ah, Baruch is here. And the father was not happy because the kids are saying, Baruch atah b'vayecha, Baruch atah b'vayecha. Couldn't wait until the kid goes home, gets out of here. The kid's a Nudge. Baruch, there's a time, as I call, also yofeh b'itay. The Shmoyne Esrei is koilel, it incorporates every tefillah that is valid in this world. And in the Hakdama, in the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we encompass every type of praise, every type of request, and we use it as a praise. And therefore Chazal did not shy away, in addition to your answer, of that the Shevach describes Hashem as the master of the universe, and he controls life and death. Yeah, that's true. And maybe that's the Ikar answer. But there's another answer, and that is, you're beginning to pray. Prayer is koilel everything. Every type of prayer. And we're coming to give validity. We're coming to give to live to every type of prayer. And you know something? There is such a thing called praying to die.
Yes.
In the right time, in the right place, in the right situation. Yeah.
There's a Ram in the Sechta. And the Ram brings it down.
Say it again. There are times when if he's terminal, he's not going to live, and he's in pain, there's a time and place to pray that they should die. The Ran says this. Now, to us, is very scary. We don't like to hear that, and rightfully so. We don't understand exactly what that means exactly in the modern day, whatever it means. But
it brings out a mice of Rebbe. Rebbe, there
was a lot of pain. He was Surin.
They interrupted his topic.
Okay, so it's something which is not for now. Okay, this is something which you know, also when a person knows that there's a time when it's not just he's going to die. There's a time when it's proper for him to leave this world. It also changes his attitude for life. You're here for a purpose. When you fulfill your purpose, it's time to go. It's not good to stick around in this world after you've achieved your tafkid. That's a scary thought, because we live with the belief that your tafkid goes on forever. Really, we should live because our purpose will be never fulfilled, and there's always more to do. But when a person has an attitude knowing that I'm here for a purpose and I must achieve my purpose, and if I'm gonna miss the opportunity to succeed in my purpose, I have to leave. And it's proper to leave. It changes your attitude, your outlook, your perspective on life. And in the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, we make that point. There are many different types of tefillahs. We're going to ask here a tefillah for chesed. We're going to ask for refuah. We're going to ask a prayer for being matir asurim and all of its different meanings. And there's also a request of being mispalel to die. Because once a purpose, a tafkid, has been achieved, it's not good. It's just not good for anyone that the neshama should linger in this world. It's not good for the neshama, and it's not good for other people. And I'm saying words which I don't know what they mean. But the Ran is saying such words, and it's not only the Ran who says this, and that is why Chazal did not shy away from mentioning Hashem, you are a melech, Menes. And this is the beginning of our tefillah, the Shmona Esrei, the Oymei Lefnei HaMakom, there's such a thing. And then we first say, Umechaye. And by the way, Hashem, don't forget, you're also the God that gives life, and we're here to ask today for life. Let's not forget the Iker, right? They didn't shy away from it. And where do you have an explicit mikor that there is such a thing? Yonah, show me where else. Moshe Rabbeinu, to somebody, we also said it. Yep. Hargeini no haroig. This is parasha, right? This is parasha. Hargeini no haroig. I had enough of this. I want out. I can't take this anymore. I can't achieve my mission. These people, they're too difficult. It's overwhelming. And I want out. It's not for me. There's a time and place for everything. We are certainly not equipped to understand this, but we have to have a emunah that there is such a thing, and we see it here. You can't deny the fact. This is a very important lesson that we learn, and the Mitzvah David has made it for us here in these very few words. Vayispalel, page 436, Vayispalel. Hatefilo hoya ma she'amar b'mikra shel acharav kach no es nafshi. That is also called prayer. Okay, let's go further in the
roots. Was this appropriate for Yonah?
That's
to pray
a discussion.
For at that time?
So that's a hot debate.
Yeah, terminal death is different than.
Well, psychologically, maybe it's even worse. Someone who's psychologically tormented, someone who is clinically mentally ill. Okay, I have a friend. And boy, does he suffer. He's already going on for decades already, unfortunately. And I know from his family, 30 years ago, maybe even longer, when he was first diagnosed, he went to the biggest doctor. It was then recognized as the biggest psychiatrist in New York City. The biggest psychiatrist in New York City, which the sickest people came to him. The sickest people in the whole country came in because he had a reputation as being the biggest doctor. And he told the family that this person is the third worst patient he ever had. The third worst. There are two people that are ahead of him. Are even worse. But he's the third worst person. And I see him every day. I see him every single day. And he's under a ton of medication. Okay, and now, you know, it's not very sad now. He's older, his mother passed away, his father's very, very sick, in Florida, very, very, it's very, very sad, very, 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 and you know, he's under control, the medication he takes that keeps him, but you see, like, you just give one look at him, and it says it all, so someone in such a state of mental anguish, okay, he's not physically in pain, but mentally, he's tormented. He's tormented, like, you know, all these types of OCD, bipolar, the whole collection of these is just horrible. So, you know, who's to say? And he goes on, he takes, in Baruch Hashem, today we have medicine. Okay, today there's a whole science. It's a big guessing game, but there is a help available. Years ago, what do they have? Nothing. Nothing. Person was tormented like this, OCD, bipolar, what do they do? They mamash, they died. They lost their minds from this. Today, at least they're kept. Nowhere to go.
Roll up in a shell.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let us go further. What? Let's go further in the Mitzudos. Pasuk, page 439. We're now page 439 in the Mitzudos David. Haloi zeh divari. Ha-ta-atan-chumin hazeh. Following comfort, I had the following thoughts in my mind. Ad shelo yoradati el hayam. Now here he says something very, very pashut, pashtun. He says al admasi means I translate the pasuk. I said like a more homiletic, while I've, since my existence upon the earth, he doesn't say that. He says, before I went onto the ship, Al Admasi means when I was living in Yonah came from which city? We had in the beginning of the Sefer. He was from Shevet Zvulun, giving opinions where he came from. While he was on solid earth, while he was on the firm earth, before he descended, before he went onto the ship, before he entered the ship, Admasi just means a time reference. Before I went onto the ship, I made a conscious decision. I'm going to go on the ship to Tarshish. I'm not going to remain here because I don't want to do this mission because I knew it would result in a churban. That's why I immediately, from the very beginning, levroyach, I fled Tarshisha. Before the nevuah came to me for a second time. This goes back to our discussion that we learned in the beginning of the Sefer. How was Yonah allowed to disobey a direct order? And one of the answers, the Mitzudas is going according, everyone has his approach. So don't compare one of the Mepharshim to the other. Each one has his approach. The Mitzudas is working with his approach and learning that the first nevuah was vague. The first nevuah was not yet a direct order. It was just a warm-up. It was a warm-up to get the engine going. And Yonah got a sense of where things are heading, so at that point in time, he was permitted to opt out. Let someone else do this mission, not me. So Yonah here is saying, I'm not to be blamed. When I originally went onto the ship to run away, I had the right to do so, because it was not yet a direct order. It was the first nevuah. I knew had I lingered around, I would receive the second nevuah, which would have been a direct order, and that was something I could not disobey. I'm aware that you have Rachmanus. That's what we discussed yesterday. It's better that the people of Nineveh should not do teshuva and they should perish. So that they should not proceed and exile the Aseres Hashvatim. Ulefi Divrei Razal Yoimar Hine Bozet Toisef Kascha Al Yisrael. Beroisam, this is the second thing that we discussed yesterday, that it should not be a kitroik. I was afraid they would do teshuva, and if they would do teshuva, this would increase your anger upon the Jewish people. Beroisam koyach teshuva, ve'enem loikhem musar. That's a little bit different than what he said yesterday, is that the Jewish people would read in the newspapers what happened. Well, he's saying something a little bit different. What's going to happen? I'm going to go to Nineveh, I'm going to give them musar. They're going to do teshuva. And it's going to be on the front cover of the New York Times. It's going to be on the front. It's going to say, what happened? A prophet came to Nineveh. The prophet revealed that Nineveh was going to be obliterated into smithereens. And a prophet told them what's going to happen. The people did teshuva. They did teshuva. And they lived happily ever after. And everyone in Eretz Yisrael is going to pick up the paper. Wow, very impressed. Look at that. And it's not going to make a dent on them. When the Navi comes and says, you know, the same thing is going to happen to you. If you're not going to behave yourself, you're also going to be blown up into smithereens. And they just ignore. Here they have a dugma, a maiserav. The Gemara always says, always better a story than halacha. You say a story, the proof is in the pudding. When you see a story, it's not just something theoretical. It's something that's practical. So here it is going to be a kitroig in that the Jewish people are going to witness firsthand the power of teshuvah, and they're going to choose not to do teshuvah. That's what he was afraid of. Yoimar bazet toisef kaskal lishol b'rois, and they will witness koyach teshuvah inem luchem musar. V'alzeh chashavti mitchil v'chein hoyokasha olay hanavu. That's why I did not want to give over the nevuah. Now let's do the next pasuk also. Pasuk gimel v'yata. Therefore, what do I want? I want to die. I want to die. And why do I want to die? So here, this is something very, very important. This everyone's going to have to say their piece on this. Why do I want to die? Why is that a legitimate request? There's no greater gift than life. just being in this world alive and doing absolutely nothing is the greatest gift, because with this we have to have emunah. We don't even appreciate what it means just to be alive and do nothing. Just to walk the streets and do absolutely nothing, that in and of itself is something which is an extraordinary blessing. Okay, Chazal say that the ultimate lacham you give a parent, Rachmano Litzlan, who lost an infant, is to say, it's extremely depressing. A person, forget about the biological depression, that's the chemical imbalance that a woman experiences when they give birth. That's known today. A woman who gives birth,
postpartum depression,
there's a chemical imbalance which causes depression. Put that aside. Let's say we can pump up all of the chemicals in the brain and there is no physical depression. But psychologically, a woman, she is anticipating for 9 months, day in, day out, she's going to have a child. There's not a second that goes by during those 9 months where she's not looking forward to the big day when she brings into this world a child. And then the child comes into the world and then shortly thereafter leaves the world, dies. Okay? You can lose your mind. You're planning 9 months for such an event and it's taken away from you. That's very tragic. And don't even put aside, like you said, the chemical imbalance that goes along with it. So what is the nechama that Chazal give this woman? There is no nechama. The only thing you can have nechama. But what is at least an attempt to give comfort? You didn't lose anything. You brought a neshama to Olam Haba. The only way a neshama can enter Chaye HaOlam Haba is through the experience of being in this world. And even though this neshama was here just for a couple of days, a couple of hours, the fact that it breathed on its own, opened up its eyes, and saw this world, didn't see very much. It didn't.
Born.
What?
I
don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going out. I don't know anything. I'm not saying what it says. The fact that a neshama came into this world, that means that neshama has a chelek in Olam Haba. And who did it? You did it. That should be a nechama to it. Does that work for everyone? No, but at least it's something. It's something. What? Right, and Hashem took it away from us. Okay, it's nice to say these things, but Rachmana Litzlan, people who experience it, they'll tell you all these words of Nechama don't help them very much. Maybe years later, when the pain subsides, years later, they can reflect. 50 years later, they can reflect upon it, and maybe then, the words will give them a degree of comfort. But B'shas Maisa, Chazal say, you can't comfort a person at the time when Meisoy Mutal Lefanav. So it's foolish for us to think that all of these things, they sound very nice, conceptually, theoretically, Halacha L'Maisa, when a person himself suffers tragedy, doesn't work.
A boy, they do a
person
anyway.
Well, that's right. Okay, there are other inyanim. It's also, the neshama is also alive in the mother's womb. It's also. So here, let's go. So here, Yonah over here is saying, let's go back to the Mitzudos David. Yonah over here is saying, we have to discuss why is it correct for Yonah now to ask that he die? Why is it permitted? Why is it a correct tefillah? So everyone's going to give their interpretation, and he's going to say, "Rabbi Mitzvah David over here says, Hoyel v'cheinu avakesh v'mchashatikach snafshi mimeni ki toy moysi mechayoi lirois." Better, I should not have to see with my own eyes be'ovdan b'nei ami asher al yodi bo'o hasiba. In these very, very few words, the Mitzudos David has spoken volumes. And he's saying, and everyone's going to struggle here with this. Again, he's making a tefillah, and it's legit. the tefillah to die is not just some suicidal maniac that's roaming the streets and saying crazy things. This is a Navi. If a Navi prays to die, he knows what he's doing. He's saying something that's legitimate. What is a legitimate? So Yonah says, what's going to happen? Guilt. Basically, I cannot live with the guilt. The guilt is just too painful. I'm going to go, I'm going to tell Nineveh to do teshuva. They're going to do teshuva. Hashem's going to save them. What's then going to happen? God gave us two perushim. They will, the golus of the Aseres Hashvatim will proceed. Or there will be a very great kitrag in Shemayim against the Jewish people who witnessed firsthand the koich of teshuva, and they did not do teshuva, and because of that kitrag, there's going to be punishment brought upon the Jewish people, which we know is also resulting in the agolas of the Aseres Hashvatim. I'm going to sit here and watch this all happen, and I'm going to know that I was the one, it was I who was the Siba who brought this about. What? Because he's the one that's telling them to do teshuva. I'm the one. I'm the one who pushed the button. I'm the one. The Jewish people have to be punished. Correct? What?
To avoid a punishment that Hashem's going to bring to
them. To Nineveh.
It may feel like a failure, but...
What do you mean? Nineveh, he doesn't care, couldn't care less about Nineveh. Nineveh, Yonah is loyal to Klal Yisrael.
Right.
Nineveh is Hashem's instrument in this, in bringing enormous harm upon Klal Yisrael. Correct? Nineveh is the nation, Nineveh, which is the capital of the kingdom of Ashur, are the ones who will exile the Aseres Hashvatim. You can only exile the Aseres Hashvatim if there is a kingdom called Ashur. If there is no kingdom of Ashur, then the Jewish people, they get to live, because there's just no one around that can do the job. The only way they will exist is if I, Yonah, tell them to do teshuva, and they listen, and they do teshuva, and they can live another day. And when, what will they do on that other day that they will be alive because of the teshuva that they have done? They will continue to exile the Aseres Hashvatim. So I have to live with the guilt. I have to witness the agolos of the Aseres Hashvatim, knowing I had a hand in having this come about. Guilt. The guilt is so painful, it's psychological. The guilt is so painful, I view in halacha that I am correct in praying to Hashem that I die. I cannot live with this psychological pain. Psychological pain. The people who invented the nuclear bomb, the atom bomb, do they have any guilt? Do they feel any guilt that their invention, that their invention was the cause of so much death? Hiroshima? Did Truman, did he feel bad that he gave the order? How did he deal with it?
Well, that's why Oppenheim opted out at the end. Okay, you know, he realized what he created. What he created and wanted, and then they shunned him. In other words, they kicked him out. He lost his security clearance
because he wanted, he would sabotage.
He saw what was about to happen.
So he might actually sabotage his own creation. Okay, but you could say, but if not me, it'll be someone else. So what do I care? If it's not going to be me, doesn't matter. I don't want it to be me. Megalgalin zuchus al yidei zakai v'choiva al yidei chayiv. The mitzudoi stuff, this is an extremely important point. Everyone here is going to give their own take on why it was permitted for Yonah to pray with sincerity to Hashem that he die. And it's a legitimate prayer. First of our collection is Yonah, guilt. That's what it's all about. Read the words one more time. It's better, I cannot witness to see, to witness the ovdan, the destruction, b'nei ami, of my nation, Klal Yisrael, asher al yodi. It was through me. I will be the cause Bo hasiba. I am the one who's going to cause them to go into exile by being the instrument in keeping alive the nation of Ashur. I don't want that. I can't live with that guilt. Therefore, I am mispalel to Hashem, save me from this psychological pain.
So Rashi. Knew,
Yonah sensed it would happen. What?
You already knew that.
Yeah.
Even though the results had not happened yet?
The results did happen. He was correct. What do you mean? He was correct. They did the teshuva.
No.
The aftermath. He's talking about the final result. That
he was correct. It happened. They did the teshuva and they proceeded to exile the Aseres HaShvatim to the point where they disappeared.
You're asking about the Jews, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Jews are gone. The Jews are gone. The Jews did not do teshuva. But everything that he was afraid of happened. Everything that Yonah was afraid would happen, happened.
Well, they hadn't finished the Aseres HaShvatim had not all been exiled, and he didn't want them to be. He didn't want to play a role in that.
That's he didn't want to play a role, and he did play a role. The end was he told them.
Did he see that would be the end?
Yeah,
the final result.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Right, so
that's says.
What he wants to hear.
Yonah saw how everything would play out. He saw from beginning to end how everything is going to play out. And he was 100% correct. And he said the guilt of me being the cause of this sequence of events is so great, I am correct and permitted to pray to Hashem to end my life. Oh, chayesha. Every moment of life is precious. Well, guess what? Sometimes it's not worth it.
But he's not willing to plunge a knife and, you know, to commit
harm. You can't do it.
So
you can't.
He realizes that
that you can't do. You can't take your life with your own hands. You can't take it. That's another thing.
Right.
So why didn't he just commit suicide?
That.
He tried on. I mean, pretty much he was suicidal. Right? They threw him into the river. They threw him into the
Yam. He wants somebody else to do it. So he knows that God is acquiescing to his prayers.
Okay, so this is the perish, the approach of the Mitzudos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, back on the previous page. Rashi, starting with Pasuk Aleph. Vayera el Yoina. Omar. He said, Achshav Yomruhu Umois Sha'ani Nevi Hasheker. Now we have a whole new take on this story. Yona, again, a totally different, different approach. Yonah is afraid that the nations will say that I am a Navi Sheker, my reputation is on the line. Now, that's a whole new twist. We never heard that before, right? Whole new twist. Why would they say that he's a Navi Sheker? The next word, let's write it explain, it's Pasuk Beis. Haloi Zedivari, Yodeo Yisishim, Yachseru Beshuva, Lo Sachri Veim, Ve'eye Shakron Be'enehem. A whole new twist of what's taking place here. Yonah, Rashi Lashitasa, right? This goes back to what we learned in the previous parak, and not Rashi didn't, I don't think he said it outright, but other Rishonim, he said something very similar. When Yonah went the second Nevuah, he did not anywhere tell them to do Teshuvah. Yonah went to tell them to say, Vidui. Okay, Vidui, I'm a chaplain, end of life, I'm a chaplain, who specializes in end of life. There are all different types of chaplains. Okay, there's a chaplain in the army, there's a chaplain for children, a chaplain for this. Everything today is a specialty, right? Everything, prison. Everyone has a specialty today. I can't stop and be a general doctor. It doesn't exist today. You have to have a special, you work in computers, which language, which prat, the prote praten. What was the specialty of Yonah? End of life chaplain. I administer the last rites. End of life chaplain. I come to them and I say, I have bad news to tell you. You're all going to die. That's what he did. The second Nevuah was, Yonah, you stalled. You basically outsmarted Hashem. I sent you first Nevuah was, go tell them to do Teshuvah. Yonah stalled. Because he stalled, they got deeper. They sunk deeper in their sins. And now it's at a point beyond return. So now when Hashem says to Yonah, listen, you stalled. Okay, you know, now they're really in trouble. So just go tell them now at least to say Vidui. They should die Baal tshuva. They should die with tshuva. Do that. So Yonah goes, and Yonah tells them they're going to die, and then, which means it's too late, and then the people on their own do teshuva, and Hashem accepts the teshuva, and they don't die. So then when they reflect, and they write the history books, they say there was a madman here, his name was Yonah, and he was a Navi Sheker. He told us we're all going to die, it's too late, it's beyond the point of return, and it wasn't. So Yonah will go down, my legacy will be, I'm a Navi Sheker. It's very strange, isn't that? It's a very disturbing thing. We shy away from people who worry about their legacy in this world. So there's a goyish thing. Hashem, leave it to Hashem, your legacy. It's not, this world, it's not important what your legacy is in this world. It's important is to do what Hashem wants you to do, what Hashem wants from you. Rashi says this. They're going to say about me that I'm a shakran. This needs more understanding. And Rashi, very cleverly, doesn't want to tell us why he was permitted to pray for his death. Rashi stayed far away from giving us a perish on why Yonah was permitted to do the impossible, something which to us is super bizarre for a person, a healthy living person, person who's he's healthy, he's to pray to die. What are you praying to die for? What's your problem?
He was very distraught. Many people, according
to the Mitzudos, he wasn't destroyed yet. According to the Mitzudos, he's planning ahead. He's saying there's going to be a degree of guilt which will come upon me at a later point in time, which I will not be able to deal with, and therefore I want to die now. Okay, it didn't happen yet. It's very, very shocking what the Mitzudos David says. Rashi totally ignores the issue. Let's take a look at the Radak in another 2 minutes. Radak, we get started in the Radak Pasuk Aleph. Vayera Sharshoy Yera. Okay, first he goes into a bit of grammar. The word Vayera is not our typical word. Obviously, it comes from the word Ra. Ra is evil. And here we're playing with it with a Vav and the Yud, and we're playing with the Nikud. So he explains Sharosho Yud Resh Ayin Vayera Be'ene Hashem.
As opposed to, let's say, Resh Ayin.
Reish.
Well, you have it in the Chumash.
Right, so he quotes over here. Vayera be'enei Hashem. It says that concerning. Who does it say that about? Vayera be'enei Hashem bereishus. But that's too. Lamed Ches.
Vayera be'enov is when the Yaakov is giving bracha to Ephraim and Menashe.
Okay, so it's set. So this specific example.
Exactly. He saw Vayera Be'enov. Yosef was very upset. Or he's causing the same problem.
This is Yehuda. This is Erev Oinon. This specific pasuk is Vayera Be'enei Hashem Asher Asa. Ekiloylo Yiyeh Hazora. Okay? Heir of Oinon were the first children. You appreciate this. Is that so going without? Is that went off the derech? Today it's a very big topic. OTD off OTD off the derech. Who was the first people who went off the derech? Heir of Oinon. What? Jews. Who were the first Jews who were born? Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. What? Esav. Esav, not really. Esav had a way.
He's
a Jew which has a right to leave. The difference is the famous in Rav Hutner. The first one to become a Jew. This is a var, this is an expression in Yish Rav Hutner. The first one to become a Jew is Avraham. The first one to be born a Jew was Yitzchak. He was the first FFB from birth. He was the first FFB. And now, what did Yaakov contribute? Yaakov and Esav, if they so wished, they could opt out. You can opt out. I'm born a Jew. Yaakov established a reality that it is impossible for a Jew to leave. Once you're a Jew, there is absolutely no way out. Esav was able to leave. It's not the pshat. Esav was born Jewish. He was an FFB, but Esav had the ability, Yaakov also, in the beginning, had the ability to leave. You want to leave? The door is open. You're not called a Jew. Yaakov created in Klal Yisrael a reality that if you are born a Jew, there's no way out. That's it. It's impossible. Just because they baptize, they take a child, they baptize a child, it's zero, zero, zero. A Jew is a Jew. That began, that was established through the power of Yaakov, and the first one that it took effect on was Yaakov's children. The Shivtei Kah have no way out. And thus, Yehuda had a child, Erva Onan, there's no way out. Now, when they decide to go and go off the derech, so to speak, so it's their Jews who are a Yisrael Mummer. Are they a Yisrael Mummer? The first one to be called a Yisrael Mummer was Erva Onan. Esav wasn't a Mummer. Esav had the option. The option was open for him to go walk out. So he walked out. Finished. Yaakov created a reality that you can't leave. You're locked in. You're locked in. The door is locked. Therefore, who did it take effect with for the first time? Yaakov. I mean, Yaakov himself. He created that. His children. Baruch Hashem, his children, Shiftei Kah, Yaakov mitosai shalema. But Yehuda had two sons, Er v'oinan, Vayera be'enei Hashem. They decided, ki loy, now what does it mean? There's a much deeper interpretation. Ki loy lo yiye hazara. What does that mean? So Pashup Shad means that they are not going to allow Tamar to become pregnant. Why? They want to preserve her beauty. Balei Taiva. The Balei Taiva, then they want to preserve her beauty. Ki lo lo yazara. But symbolically, or in homiletically, what does it mean? Rachmana litzlan, when a child goes off the derech, what does it mean? Ki loy lo yahazara. His future generations will not be part of Klal Yisrael. They will not be observant. They'll marry a goy, intermarry, or even if they'll just remain, they'll be totally religious. Nothing, their descendants will be completely moved out. Kilo, that's in essence what the Churban of Rachmana Litzlan, a child making a decision to leave, what in essence what they're saying is, Kiloy loy yihye hazara. From me, there are going to be no future generations of observant Jews. The Zer means the seed, the future generations. Once you're not religious, what's stopping you or your descendants from intermarrying? And then even halachically, they're not Jewish. So this was, what?
They were just Bali and Bera. I don't know if they were.
It says, Ki loy loy yiye hazara.
They did.
Obviously, there's something a lot more to it. And it was so evil, Vayera. That's the pasuk I just quoted right now. And we're using that over here for the pasuk over here, Vayera. It's the same word. Vayera be'enei Hashem. What they've done was, in Hashem's eyes, so horrible, Hashem prematurely took their life. And that's very interesting.
It says that by Onam, not what? By air. By
Yemiseu Hashem.
Yeah, by Onam, because Kilo Lo, but not the first one.
Okay, but
second.
I think from the second, it's the same thing. It's obviously, they both died. Okay, this is Lam. Let's look at the pasuk. Lamed Ches Yud. Okay, Vayihi Er Bichor Yehuda Ra. Bnei Hashem. Vayemiseu. Vayemiseu Hashem.
All right, but it doesn't say why at that point. But the second one, you could dash in that.
It says Ra. I mean, what more do you want? Vayihi Er Bechor Yehuda Ra. Beinei Hashem. Vayemiseu Hashem. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Vayom Yehuda Loinon Benoi.
Vayera is Vayonon. Vayera. I mean, the pasuk that you're quoting,
So go further. Then we go to Onan. Vayeda, Vayomer Yehuda lo Onan bo elei shesachich v'yavim esav v'hakim zer leachicha. Vayeda Onan ki lo lo yihye hazara. V'hayayim bo elei shesachiv v'shiches arzav levuti nesan zer leachiv. Vayera b'nei Hashem asher osa. Same thing. Just like it says by. Vayomos gam oisai. So gam puts gam.
The word gam.
Now, what is very interesting over here is, this is the point I want to make over here, is that over here, the word vayera, the first time it's used, at least the way the Radak is quoting, we'll stop with this, is in reference to Erva Oinon. It was vayera be'enei Hashem. And what was the consequence of that? Death. Death was the consequence. Here, we're using exactly the same word. It's not Hashem who's saying it, but it's Yonah, who's a Navi, that's saying it. And therefore, he wants the same results. Hashem said, Vayera be'enei Hashem. It was Vayera. And what does that lead to? Death. Vayemiseu Hashem. Here, Vayera el Yonah ro'o gidoyla. And therefore, what do I want? I want kachnos nafshi. I want death. Ra and death go hand in hand. And that's why it's not a coincidence that the pasuk here is using the word vayera in reference to Yonah. It doesn't just start off. You know, if there was not a pasuk aleph, we wouldn't blink. If Perek Dalet would begin, vayispalel el Hashem, and he prays to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, enough of this. Kach nos nafshi mimeni. So we would bring in a team of psychologists and we would explain what was going through his mind. He was tormented, like the Mitzvah says, I'm going to be the Siba. He was tormented, he couldn't live with this pain, and that's why he prayed to Hashem to die. Everything would be fine and good. But that's not what it says in Yonah. The sugya of Ayispalel el Hashem, kach no nafshi, I want to die, is preceded with a pasuk, which speaks volumes. And the pasuk is Vayera El Yonah Ro'o Gidoylo Vayicharlo. Radak says, you want to understand this pasuk? Go check out Erva Oinon. Because their death was preceded with Vayera Be'en Vayera, with the word, the same expression. It was Ra, Vayera B'chor Yudo Ra Be'enei Hashem. And later on again, Vayera Be'enei Hashem Asher Osa Vayomes Kamoisai. So that puts everything now in a whole new perspective. It's not just a matter of bringing a team of psychologists, like what Mitzvah David says, and says, well, they were tormented psychologically, psychological abuse, torment, because how could I be live with guilt to see what's going to happen? No. There's something more going on over here. There is an element of Ra. And when there's an element of Ra, that is what triggers death. See, this is not what the Mitzvah Stavah said. The Mitzvah Stavah was clear as day. That it seems to be is that the word Vayera, that's not part of the equation of why Yonah was mispalel to die.
What was the Ra?
We have to see. It was Ra in the eyes of Yonah. So what was Ra? So simply what was Ra was, I'm now going to be the cause. I'm going to be the cause of the death of the Jewish people, of the Golos, of the Jewish people. But you don't need to say Pasuk Aleph to bring that point out. Because Pasuk Beis pretty much says that. Pasuk Beis pretty much says that a whole theme. Why do we need to add another Pasuk? And why the Radak has to connect it to the Pasuk in Erva Onan? Obviously, there's more, and that will have to be Yirtz Hashem for next week.